God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our gospel reading as Jesus is proclaiming that, yes, he is the living water. And if we are drinking of him, we have eternal life. So, needless to say, the title of this message, I just couldn't resist it, My Drinking Buddy, Jesus. I know this may sound for like a strange title for a message in a Christian church, but there are some very important parallels here that we can use if you've ever experienced or had that relationship of someone who was sort of your drinking buddy, so to speak, connecting that with our gospel reading. First of all, some generalizations about drinking buddies. First of all, they're always there. They're always willing to be with you, to listen to you, to be there by your side. There's usually a special bond in this relationship centering around some sort of beverage. Well, with these generalizations, we can immediately superimpose the concept of who Jesus Christ is and what he does. You see, Jesus is true God and true man, so he is always there because he is true God. True man, he is able to take a drink, so to speak. This special relationship does center around a beverage. As we go back to our text, we see what our text says in John chapter 7. Jesus says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." That simple phrase, "if anyone is thirsty," or "if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Notice what our drinking buddy Jesus is doing. Everyone or anybody is invited to come to him, providing so are thirsty. This is to anyone, providing you meet the qualification of being thirsty.
You don't need to know the special password
to get in.
You don't need to pay a cover charge. You don't need to invite Jesus to your next bash that you're throwing.
You just need to be thirsty. So if you're not thirsty, you have no need to come to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to drink. Now we have to ask, and this begs the question, what kind of thirst are we talking about? Martin Luther notes about this passage. He says, this is not a physical thirst, such as it is best for beer or wine. So for those of you who are disappointed and thinking, okay, Pastor, when are you going to break out the keg? When are you going to break out the wine? But Luther goes on and says, but a thirst of the soul, a spiritual thirst, our heartfelt desire. So if you were looking for that physical thirst, the words of Christ are not necessarily going to fulfill that. But if you are anxious about your relationship with God, if you are struggling with the concept of the forgiveness of sins, if you are worried about whether God's going to love you enough because of all your past sins and your disobedience, we go back to our text. Are you thirsty? Do you realize that you need a Savior? Do you understand that, yes, your soul is lacking and that Christ alone provides the nourishment, the drink for your soul? We need to come to realize our sinfulness and our need for a Savior. And when we do realize that, our drinking buddy Jesus comes in and he offers us a drink of living water. The water that can never be taken away from you. The water that provides eternal life. Now, very often when we start talking about water and we talk about eating and drinking, we can't get too far without talking about the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And that's why we celebrate it at all our divine services. Why do we eat and why do we drink this bread and wine, which we say is the body and blood of Christ? Martin Luther explains it this way in his small catechism. What is the benefit of this eating and drinking? He says, these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Now, sometimes we may be asking, how can just ordinary eating and drinking do these things? Luther has an explanation of that also. Certainly not just eating and drinking do these things, but the words here, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words, along with the bodily eating and drinking, are the main thing in the sacrament. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins. So our drinking body offers himself through that bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because we are thirsty. Because we are sinful. We live in a world full of sin that is constantly hounding in on us, zapping our energy, pulling our strength, trying to pull us away from the living water, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. See, we have to remember, even though we live in a world full of sin, we have a Savior who loves us, who cares for us, who takes away the punishment of sin. Very often we note that in Scripture, Scripture is divided in two ways. One is the law, that which we usually don't like to hear, the law that shows us our sins, as in we were also learning in the adult Bible class, Law and Gospel. The law shows us our need for a Savior. The law is what sort of creates that thirst within us and drives us to the Gospel, where we receive that beautiful message, the forgiveness of sins that Christ alone provides. Hence the cliche, if I may toss into here, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. The same is true for us as human beings. We can proclaim God's word. We can tell the world about the living water through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But as Jesus said, if you're not thirsty, you're not going to come to him for a drink. We have to realize that Jesus has his invitation open to all people. People themselves, however, exclude themselves from Jesus by basically saying, you know, I'm not thirsty. I really don't need the Savior to die on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins because I'm really not a bad guy. They start going away from our Lord and Savior. However, as we take a true good look at our lives, we'll truly understand that, yes, we are sinners. Let me use one example again from Martin Luther. Martin Luther had someone come up to him at one time who said, time after time, he's tried to promise to God that he would lead a better, pious, more fruitful Christian life. And every time he's made that promise, he's always failed. So he got discouraged and says, I guess I'm not going to promise anymore. What did that person need to hear? The forgiveness of sins through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Needed to hear the life-giving water that Christ alone provides, because you cannot do it by yourself. This is why we have that refreshing living water, our drinking buddy Jesus, who gives us that drink. This is why we also celebrate the sacrament of holy baptism. As Genevieve was baptized into that community of believers through what God has done, it is his word connected with water that accomplishes such fact. His word that brings about the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because Genevieve cannot do it by herself. She needs a Savior. And she's now baptized into the Savior's family, where she has this forgiveness of sins. She is now being fed the living waters, the waters that provide eternal life. Later on in our text, verse 38, Jesus says, whoever believes in me, as the Scriptures has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. What is Jesus talking about here? Does that mean as Christians we're all wet? Every time we take a step, we'll sort of leave those wet footprints behind us, or because we're just flowing with water? Well, remember here, we're not talking about physical water. We're talking about a living water, a spiritual thirst. What it basically means is that as a Christian, as we have been baptized into this faith, as we've been growing in this faith, as we've been drinking this living water, we also will sort of share or flow that living water from us. The Word of God will come out from us. And it changes people. Just like that Word of God changes us, the Word of God changes other people. Even if all the world were confronting us and bearing down on us, because we have that living water, because we have that faith, we have comfort. Christ doesn't just give us a spoon to dish out His grace, but He uses flowing rivers of living water. His grace is abundant, always flowing. Notice at the beginning part of our liturgy, after hearing the general confession of sins, which notes your thirstiness, so to speak, I, as your pastor, respond with the absolution, God's word of forgiveness, to whether it's be to 20 people, to 100 people, or a million people. The size doesn't matter of the audience. What matters is the thirstiness of the people. That's why when, as Christians, we gather to receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, where we receive the bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins, we may ask, well, who is worthy to come? Using the words of our text, we could say, those who are thirsty. Those who look to this body and blood of Christ, this bread and wine, for the forgiveness of their sins, those who need that forgiveness of sins, are invited to come and have their thirst taken care of. Again, notice, like our drinking buddy, there is no special password or other special requirement. You don't have to do so many things to receive God's grace. It is given to you freely because you are thirsty. So this day we give our praise and thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the church celebrates the day of Pentecost, celebrates this outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples, the promised Comforter, through whom we can now speak the words of love and forgiveness to those who are struggling with their spiritual dryness. We give thanks and praise to Him who has come into our lives with that living water and that Word of God which now bears much fruits. We give thanks and praise that we do have a drinking buddy who is always there to invite us, to comfort us, to nurture us, to feed us with His own body and blood, with His own Word of God that gives us the living water so that we will not die but be with Him in heaven above. He also sends that Holy Spirit through baptism, through His Word, to be that comforter, that guide. So we gather this day because we are thirsty and He provides the living water. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.